Miss Viola clapped her hands together.
Well, I came for some coffee.
Oh, yeah, but can't you stay a while? Me and the dogs went to a lot of trouble to clean this place up. It'd be a shame for you to leave so soon. You want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No thanks, Slim. I better get back down the creek.
He was disappointed, I could tell. So was I. Having Miss Viola on the place was a pretty special event. Slim limped into the kitchen and began searching for the can of coffee. It took him a while to find it, and guess where it was? In a grocery sack on the floor beside the icebox. He'd bought it 2 months before and had never gotten around to putting it up on the shelf. You save shelf space that way, he explained to Miss Viola. Well, she had fulfilled her mission. She put on her coat and hat, and Slim and I walked her to the door. Just before she walked out into the night air, she stopped.
Oh, I almost forgot. On the way over here, I saw a pack of dogs crossing the road.
Slim's face became serious. A pack of dogs?
Yes, 4 of them. And I don't think they belong to anyone on the creek. I thought you might want to know.
You bet I do. I've got 143 calves in the weaning trap, and what they don't need is a pack of stray dogs running them through fences. We had a little incident with them dogs about 2 hours ago. Thanks, Viola. We'll be on the lookout for them.
She said goodnight and left. Slim watched at the window until she was gone. Then he heaved a sigh and turned back to me.
That's a mighty fine lady right there. If I had any sense, I'd ask her to go dancing sometime. Only I can't dance. Well, after seeing this house, she probably won't speak to me again anyways. I don't know how it gets in such a mess.
He scowled and glanced around the room.
We'd better go check them calves. I wonder where my boots ended up.
He went to the hall closet and opened the door. It burst open and all the things he'd stuffed in there came spilling out. He muttered something under his breath and picked through the rubble until he found 2 boots that matched. He pulled on the right boot and tried to pull on the left one, and we're talking about serious grunting and tugging, but his swollen ankle wouldn't fit. He kicked the boot across the floor. In my direction, by the way, and if I'd been half a second slower, it would have hit me. And he said in a growling tone of voice,
"Thanks a bunch, Hank. What do I do now?"
Me? What? Had I asked him to step on the turkey bone? Had I planted it there just so he could... Oh, well. Part of a dog's job is to take the blame for everything that goes wrong in this world. This was followed by another round of muttering and aimless wandering around the house until he found a sheepskin house shoe that was floppy enough to hold his swollen ankle. Then he dug out his oilskin coat and hat, gloves, and wild rag, and we were ready for business. He called us dogs, and we went out into the cold night air. Slim limped along in his one boot, one slipper arrangement. I trotted beside him, a loyal dog to the end, and tried not to notice that he looked fairly ridiculous. We reached the corrals, and Slim draped his arms over the top board. I sat down beside him, and together we studied the calf situation. We could see their dark forms in the moonlight. Some were still snatching bites of hay from the feeder, while others had bedded down nearby. They knew we were there, but our presence didn't seem to frighten them. We watched them for 10 or 15 minutes. I was about ready to get back to some serious stove guarding, when suddenly and all of a sudden, the silence of night was fractured by... What was that? Barking in the distance? Slim heard it too.
That ain't a coyote's bark. That's the bark of a dog.
He cocked his head and listened.
Several dogs. Viola was right. Them dogs may try to come back. The question is,
What do we do about it? Well, that was simple enough, wasn't it? He and Drover could camp out near the cattle. That would leave me to, well, guard the stove, so to speak. That stove sure needed guarding. You never knew when someone might break into the house and try to steal the stove. It sounded like a good plan to me. Slim pulled on his chin and chewed his lip. He was a slow thinker, but at last he spoke. Dogs, I know what needs to be done. I ought to drag my bedroll and shotgun down here and camp with the livestock. That's what a real cowboy hero would do. Trouble is, I ain't as heroic as I ought to be. I don't like sleeping on the hard ground, and I hate being cold. That stuff's for the young bucks, which I ain't. He grinned at me and winked one eye. Us older bucks have to use our heads. You see these gray hairs? He pointed to several gray hairs in his beard. Yes, I saw them. Well, each one of them gray hairs come from me making a dumb mistake. Now, it just happens that I've got exactly the right number of gray hairs so that I ain't fixing to camp out on the cold, hard ground. I'm gonna break with tradition and use my brain on this deal. Well, that would be something new, sure enough. But I wondered what he had in mind. If it involved me sleeping on the cold, hard ground, I was sorry to inform him that I had other plans for the evening. Let's go to the house and think this over next to the stove. My brain works better when it's warm. Come on, dogs. Hey, that sounded more like it. Good old Slim. What a fine ranch manager he was turning out to be. Over the years, I'd had a few doubts about him, but yes, age and experience had put a sharp edge on his mind. I agreed 100% with his decision not to camp out with the cattle. He was a very wise man. Not overly clean in his personal life, but a very wise man and an outstanding ranch manager. Drover and I went streaking up to the house. Slim limped along at his own pace. We reached the front door at least 2 minutes before he did. As you might expect, Drover was moaning.
Oh, I'm so cold. I'm not sure I can make it through another winter.
Will you dry up? Just be glad we don't have to sleep outside tonight.
We don't? Oh, good. I thought we might have to camp out with the cows.
I glared at him. They're not cows, Drover. They're calves. Cows are adult breeding females. Calves are the offspring of cows. If you're going to live on a ranch for crying out loud, you ought to know the difference between cows and calves.
Okay. What's the difference?
I just told you.
Yeah, but I'm so cold I can't think straight, and my leg's killing me.
Drover, you have a morbid preoccupation with your leg.
Yeah, it's killing me.
It's not killing you. If it were killing you, you'd be dying. You're not dying. You're moaning and complaining.
Yeah, but that's the first step. First you moan and then you die.
Drover, you've moaned enough in the last month to kill off 100 dogs.
Yeah, I'm just lucky to be alive.
If you're so lucky, then quit moaning about it.
I can't, I'm freezing out here.
Fortunately, Slim arrived on the porch just then and opened the door. That was good because I had run out of things to say to Mr. Moan and Groan. Make no mistake about it, that's a weird little dog. Sometimes I think, skip it. Thinking about Drover is a bottomless pit. He opened the door, Slim did, and Drover and I had a little pushing and shoving match to see which one would be the first inside. Somehow, Drover won, and he flopped down in my spot right in front of the stove. I had to go to fangs and growls to move him out. Then, I did a quick circle of the spot and collapsed. It felt wonderful. No dog could wish for more than to snark, murk, the honking Murgle. Perhaps I dozed. I mean, The warmth coming off that stove just seemed to reach out and enfold me in its warm embrace. And before I knew it, Slim was sure making a lot of noise. What was the deal? Didn't he know that some of us were trying to sleep? I raised up and beamed him a glare which said, "Would you please knock off the noise and quit banging around?" Oh, he had just dragged his mattress from the bedroom and was, "Move, pooch." Move, pooch. No, thanks. I had won my spot in front of the stove fair and square and, "Okay, don't move." Would you believe that he dumped the mattress right on top of me? I was shocked, astonished, outraged, but okay, if he was so determined to. I scrambled out from under the stupid mattress and, had he brought that mattress for me? Maybe so. What a nice guy. It didn't smell so great, but what the heck, it sure beat the floor. I moved my camp onto the mattress, did a little digging and fluffing to get it just right, and was about to get off my bed, you clam brain. Huh? Okay, maybe he'd brought the mattress for himself, and I sure didn't have any problem with that. The floor was fine with me. I staked out another spot near the stove and flopped down. See, I happened to know that Slim was a sound sleeper, and it had occurred to me that once he was asleep, I could, shall we say, restake my claim to the mattress. Heh heh. But what was he doing with that ball of string? He'd just come out of the kitchen with a ball of string. That struck me as odd. What could he possibly want with... You'll never guess what he had in mind for that string. It turned out to be a whole lot worse than anything I could have dreamed.